Thank you, ladies, for that special. That's wonderful. Let's go to James chapter 1 and verse 17. James chapter 1, verse 17, as you are finding your place, if you'll just stand with me in honor to the Word of God. James chapter 1 and verse 17. We're going to read one verse, then we'll have a word of prayer and listen to the special. James chapter 1, verse 17. The Bible begins and says there, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variable, neither shadow of turning." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank You that we can open up the Word of God like we have done many, many weeks in a row. Lord, You have blessed Your Word. God, thank You so much that You have given it to us. It stirs our heart, Lord. God, we ask that this first day of the year, our hearts would be challenged in the Word of God. Lord, we would set the course for the year to please You and to honor You in our actions and in our words. Lord, I pray that You would come and meet with us today in our service. Lord, if You meet with us, You will do what I cannot do with words. You will speak to people's hearts, Lord. So, God, I pray that You would come and be with our service. Well, thank You, Lord, for all that You do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Heart-touching song. That's wonderful. We are over in James chapter 1, verse 17. We read, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above." I want to talk this morning about God's gifts that He gives us. I want to preach a message entitled, "Recognizing or Benefiting." Recognizing or Benefiting. I believe as a parent, one of the highlights to Christmas is watching my boys. My girl's not quite old enough yet to partake in this. But watching my boys tear open the presents and seeing their eyes grow and thinking I have one more noisy toy to play with. Grandpas and grandmas, they always get those noisy ones, you know. It's not just Jack in the Box. It's Jack in the Box that sings about a minute after it pops out. It's always the noisy ones. But I love watching the kids get excited about watching presents. And I enjoy seeing the anticipation building and the excitement that and curiosity that takes place in their eyes. I remember growing up that this took place several times, but it seemed like every time we would get excited about opening up the presents, Dad switched into slow gear. And all of a sudden, the meal was twice as slow, and devotions was twice as long. And I think he spoke in a slowed down speech. It kind of reminds me of we used to watch 16 millimeter films. We used to project them up on the barn in the country. And you could see, it was a good image as long as it wasn't on a crack of a board. But on our particular 16 millimeter projector, the thing was slow. Somehow it got slow. And so the speech was, it was really deep, and it was slowed down. And that's the way I felt like my dad was reading Luke 2. It felt like Psalms 119, the longest chapter in the Bible. And next, but finally we would get to the presents. A couple of days ago, we were getting ready to open our presents. And Joshua and David, they had picked out the biggest one. This one is going to be first. We can't wait. It came from Grandma and Grandpa down in Texas. And they were standing by that thing. And Joshua, every time we would turn around, his finger would go back there and start trying to pull up the paper and pick it and see what's down inside that gift. And so finally it came time to open up presents. And we put that one right there on the coffee table. And they tore into it. And to their surprise, it was a humidifier, so that was a real blessing. Oh, but we enjoyed watching them wonder, what is that? That's the biggest present, and we got a humidifier. So, and it was for their sister, so to top all things off. But I don't think God is excluded in that feeling. I believe God looks down from heaven, and he sees every good gift and every perfect gift received by his children, and it makes him happy. God enjoys making you happy. God enjoys putting a smile on your face. God enjoys making a little ray of sun come into your day. God enjoys that. Just as a father or a mother looks at their child when they're opening up gifts, God and gets joy from that, God looks down and receives the same type of joy. You see, the Bible says in Psalm 68 and verse 19, "Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits." Daily loadeth us with benefits, or might I say, daily loadeth us with gifts. God has many gifts in store for us. I think as I look through the storehouse of God's gifts, I think of the time when God saved me and he put love in my heart so that I could love the brothers and sisters of Christ. What a great gift, the love for the brethren. What a great gift when I look at his grace that comforts me in times of trial. What a great gift when I see his strength that helps me go through a difficult day. What a great gift when I see his joy flood my heart and puts a smile on my face and say, "Hey, God is still good." What a great gift. It's a gift from God. What a great gift I see when God gives me the power to overcome sin and enables me to have a victorious Christian life. What a great gift when I have no hope and then God comes by and he gives me that phone call or gives me that letter in the mail and he says, here is hope once again. What a great gift that is. What a good gift we have when our hearts are troubled and we're in turmoil over a decision or a circumstance that has taken place in our life. And God comes by and he gives us a little bit of peace and he calms us with his love and he says, "Peace be still to you and me." Huh? What a great gift he gives to us. And you know what? God's storehouse is full of gifts for you and I. That's why James says in chapter 1, verse 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. God gives us every good thing that enters into our life. But might I say, those good gifts that I've just gone through pale in comparison to the gifts that you and I enjoy on a daily basis. I want to go through three different gifts with you this morning that I believe all of us enjoy. And as a result of these special gifts, we have many gifts and blessings that come from these three gifts. First of all, we see the gift of salvation. The gift of salvation. I don't care how many times I hear the word. It's always a beautiful word to hear in my ears. Salvation. Jesus Christ coming and dying on the cross for our sins. Romans chapter 6, verse 23, it says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God." The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, it says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and then not of yourselves, it is a gift of God." So the number one gift that God gives mankind is the gift of salvation. I'm so glad that my God thought me valuable enough to make a gift that is called salvation, that can save my soul from eternity in hell and put me in that place called heaven. I'm glad for my salvation. No, you cannot buy it. No, it cannot be sold. It can only be received. I was talking to a gentleman a couple of weeks ago. Knocked on his door. He answered the door. He said, "Come on into the house." We went in and we sat on the couch. He said, "I have a coworker that I've been working with for a long time. And just the last 4 or 5 months, this coworker has completely changed. There's something different about this man. Something different. Can you tell me what he got 4 or 5 months ago?" I said, "Sir, I think I can fill you in on the good news. Yes, it's called salvation. Amen." We went through the plan of salvation. We got all the way down to Romans chapter 10 and verse 10. We read that word salvation. He said, "Stop right there. That's what I'm looking for. That word salvation, how can I get it?" I said, "Hold on. The next verse I'm going to read says, 'Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.'" He said, "That's what I want." He fell down on his knees and tears coming down his cheeks. He said, "Dear Jesus, come into my heart. Save me from my sins." Let me tell you this morning, the greatest gift that I can receive is the gift of salvation. What an awesome gift for you and I to have. Yet, some try to work their way to heaven. Yet, some try to trust in their good works or their baptism to get them to heaven. And some try to work in the church membership or communion or different things like that. And God says it's a gift. You and I have not worked for a gift. We receive a gift. How can we work for salvation if it is given to us by our Savior? You see, I remember August 7th, 1992, when I was being tucked in bed by my dad as a 10-year-old boy. I looked up at my dad and said, "Dad, I don't know. If I were to die, I'd go to heaven. As a matter of fact, I don't even know that if Jesus Christ were to come, that I would be taken up into heaven." He said, "Son, we need to talk about this." We went down to his bedroom. He opened up the Bible and began to show me the verses of salvation. I bowed my head and trusted Christ as my Savior. I want to tell you, greatest joy, greatest peace, greatest comfort that ever came to my heart is when I bow my head and I trust in Jesus Christ as my Savior. And friend, I'm telling you, if you have not accepted Jesus Christ this morning as your Savior, the greatest thing you can do with a gift is to receive it. A gift has no value unless it is received. And you need to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You see, the Philippian jailer, it was a dark, cold night. He had two inmates in his, folks in his jail, prisoners in his jail. And they began to sing, Paul and Silas, boy, they lifted the roof in the prison cell, began to sing to the Lord. And that jailer said, "Hey, there's something different here. I need what those guys have. And he invited them to their house, and him and his whole family trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. Greatest day of that jailer's life is when he accepted the gift. Yes, there's several different situations that led up to his salvation, but he finally bowed his head and accepted Christ. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. You see, I also find a gift over in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. It's the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Boy, I'm excited that Jesus Christ came and was born in a little manger and was wrapped in swaddling clothes for you and I. But John, chapter 14, verse 7 says, "But ye shall know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you." Yes, I'm glad that Jesus Christ came and was born in a manger. But it thrills my heart to know that I have God living within me, and I don't have to go to a manger scene on every Christmas and say, "Boy, there's Jesus." No, I can look in the mirror and say, "God lives within me," because the Spirit of God indwells those who have trusted Him as their Savior. What a gift! The gift of the Holy Spirit. Incredible gift. It guides us. It helps us. It helps us go through different circumstances in our life. What awesome thought that God would not just be born in a manger, but eventually would indwell Christians in today's, in our life and in today's world. He indwells those who have trusted Him as their personal Savior. I can remember going over to my, at that time, Emily's house, my girlfriend's house. And I can remember every Sunday night, looking forward to the couple of hours that we would have over there with her mom and dad, and being able to enjoy her presence at her house. And then, of course, the time would come and look at the clock. Well, it's time to go. I've got to get back to the dorm. But I'll never forget the time when it was our wedding day. We come back to the house, and I lifted her up, and I opened up the door, and I walked across the threshold of our new apartment. And no, I didn't have to go to my mother and father-in-law's house to enjoy my wife's presence. I got to enjoy it all the time. Amen? That was a great day. That was a life-changing day as well. Amen? For sure. But it was a great blessing. You listen to me. In the Old Testament, the saints of the Old Testament, they would go to the tabernacle. They would enjoy the presence of God there at the tabernacle. And once they left the tabernacle, the presence of God stayed at the tabernacle. But in the New Testament, we don't have to go to the tabernacle. We don't have to go to the church building. We don't have to go and be with a whole bunch of brothers and sisters in Christ. Hey, God lives within you and I. And I'm glad we have that gift of the Holy Spirit. He guides us. He directs us. He helps us. What a great gift He gives us. Salvation and the Holy Spirit. Incredible gifts that changes our life. Then we find the third one wrapped up in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. It says, the gift of the Scriptures. The gift of the Scriptures. The Bible says, all Scripture is given by inspiration. If it was given, that means it was a gift. It was given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. You see, God gave us a gift. Yes, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Yes, salvation. But God also gave us the gift of His holy words. No, I'm not talking about man-made books. I'm not talking about man-tampered books. I'm talking about the inspired, inerrant Word of God that you and I hold in our hands. What a joy! Hey, I've got the Word of God in my hands, and I'm able to read it on a daily basis. And I'm able to hear God speak to me and find out what He has for me. I'm glad that I have the Word of God. It was 1986 when I sat on my little sled at Christmas time. I just opened up a circular sled. If any of you have had one of those before, you probably don't recommend them, just like I don't recommend them. You get on those things face first, and about 5 feet down the hill, you're going backwards, huh? And you don't know who you're going to hit, what bump you're going to hit, and which jump you're aiming for. So I was sitting there on that little sled, spinning around, holding the Christmas presents in my hand. And I remember opening up one Christmas present, and it was my first Bible. The excitement of having your first Bible is incredible. I still have it. It's in my office. It's from my dad. I remember opening that up that night, and I remember looking at the very first verse. And yeah, you read in kindergarten and you read in or you read in Sunday school all the different verses, but when it's your own Bible and you're reading it for yourself that God created the heavens and the earth, hey, there's something different about that. This is my own Bible, man. You can't take it from me. It's got my name on it. Amen. And so you better stay away from it. But I have my own Bible. That was an exciting Christmas for me. 1986, when I held in my hands my own little Bible. Now, I want to tell you tonight, or this morning, that all those gifts are exciting. And all those gifts stir our heart. But a gift is only a gift unless it benefits you. A gift is only a gift unless it benefits you. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. What awesome three gifts God has given us with salvation, with the Holy Spirit, and with the Scriptures. But it is the desire of everyone who gives a gift to have that gift loved and considered beneficial to the recipient. I want to give a gift that is taken and loved and not just held on to, but is used. And there's a big difference between receiving a gift and using a gift. You know when it takes place. You have the kids gathered around, the kids are opening up presents, and all of a sudden it just seems like one of your children just left the planet and he is in his own little world. He's got his little truck that just opened up and it's making all kinds of noise and racket, and he's around the house and he's buzzing around, and you say, hey, come on back over here, you've got three more presents to open up. It doesn't matter. He enjoys that one right there. He's going to use that one. And you know what? The same thing should happen in our life. We should get the gifts and not just look at them and say, hey, God is good. I have salvation. And not make it beneficial to our lives. It's got to profit us. Do you just receive the gifts and recognize them? Or are you benefiting from the gifts that God gives you? It's a completely different thing to receive and then to benefit from them. You see, a child, you can always tell when they enjoy or when they're going to use that gift. They lose track of everything and they focus in on that. As Christians, we have to do the same thing. Go ahead and focus in on your salvation. Yes, it's good to be saved. We're out of, we don't deserve to go to hell anymore, or we don't have to go to hell anymore. Yes, we're on our way to heaven, but it's got to benefit you. It's got to benefit you. The Apostle Paul told Timothy, Timothy, you've been given many gifts, but I want you, therefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gifts of God which are in thee by putting on of thy hands. He said, don't just hold the gifts that you've been given by God. I want you to stir those gifts up. I don't want you to just look at them and say, wow, praise God, I've got the Word of God in my hand, I have Jesus Christ in my heart, I have the Holy Spirit guiding me, I'm all set. He said, no, you use those gifts to benefit your life. To benefit your life. A gift is no good unless it is used. All three of these gifts are precious, but have no value or are not profitable to us unless we put them to use in our life. See, how can that happen, Brother Caleb? Salvation is not given to us just to escape the flames of hell. Salvation is given to us to change our lives. That's the purpose of salvation. Yes, God wants us to spend eternity in heaven, but He looks at you and He looks at me and He says, I want your life to bring glory and honor to Jesus Christ. I want your life to bring glory to God. And you just taking glory in the fact that you aren't going to heaven or you aren't going to hell does not bring glory to me. I want you to use that salvation and change your life. The Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. When I get saved, it changes me from the inside out. In other words, when I get saved, if it were my dad, when he was 27 years old, he got saved, he was a town drunk. All of a sudden, his habits changed. All of a sudden, he didn't hang out at the same places. All of a sudden, he didn't have the same friends. All of a sudden, he didn't talk the same way. All of a sudden, he wasn't inviting his neighbors to the bar, but rather to the house of God. It made a change in his life. What good is salvation if it doesn't make a change? It's got to result in a change. A gift is no good unless it is put to use. Is your salvation put to use? Or is it being satisfied with an 18-inch section of pew every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night? Or is it serving God? What's the value of your salvation? Others can tell how you value your salvation by how much you use it, how much it changes you, how much you serve God through it. You see, the Apostle Paul went from a slayer of saved people to a saving, or from slaying to saved people to saving the lost. He switched 180 degrees. I was talking to a lady the other day, and she said, "Brother Caleb, it's almost 1 year since I started coming to Faith Baptist Church. I can't believe the change that has taken place in my life. I don't even think the same as when I first started coming. Instead of saying, what would I like? I stop before I make a decision and say, what would God want me to do? I think, folks, that is putting salvation to use in your life. It's benefiting her life. It's creating a change in her habits." God says that's what it's all about. It's not just to say, "Thank you, God, for my escape from hell. Wow, you're a great God. Thank you, by the way." No. It's to make a change in our lives. In our lives, the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 29, "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son." In other words, God did not save you to stay in the same situation that you are in spiritually. He saved you to change your spiritual condition. Yes, he changed the eternal destination of your soul, but he wants to change your spiritual condition before God. He wants to draw you closer to himself. And if salvation is just looked at and said, "Praise God, I have it," but not put to use, it will not accomplish God's full purpose that it has. You see, the second gift that we were just rejoicing about, that's a good gift, the Holy Spirit. I enjoy the Holy Spirit in my life. I know you enjoy the Holy Spirit in your life as well. But the Holy Spirit does not benefit us unless he is used to guide us to do right. The Holy Spirit does not benefit us unless we say, "I'm listening, Holy Spirit. I am heeding your command." If it is, "Yes, I've got God living within me. Hey, I'm happy about that." God or the Holy Spirit is not being satisfied with that kind of surrender to him. He wants to lead you to the image of God. Listen, the Bible says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 18, "But if ye being led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law." Romans chapter 8, verse 14 says, "But as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." When I have the Spirit of God indwelling me, yes, it's a great thing, but it doesn't benefit me unless I yield to his commands in my life. So as I am sitting in the service, and something pricks me and prods me, and the Holy Spirit of God says, "Get that right." If I say, "No, I'm not going to go down to the altar. I'm not going to make that right with you, God." The Holy Spirit has been handcuffed and gagged in your life. So how is that gift anymore? Is that gift benefiting you? No, not if you aren't heeding and yielding to the Holy Spirit. How powerful is he? If he tells you to do something that you are against or that you don't like, are you at a position where you're enjoying the gift of the Holy Spirit so much within your body that you say, "God, whatever you tell me to do, Holy Spirit, wherever you lead me, I am surrendering to your guidance. I'm surrendering to you, Holy Spirit." Yes, a leader cannot lead without a follower. And in order to follow, it takes yielding. That's why when we go knock on doors throughout the community, we tell folks, "Hey, Jesus Christ died on the cross. He shed his blood. He wants you to accept him as your Savior." And when they say, "No, I'm fine. I got church. I have my own religion." And the Holy Spirit begins to squeeze them and begins to convict their heart.
and they say, no, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to heed it. The Holy Spirit can't do a work in that person's life. Therefore, they do not get saved. You see, are you recognizing your gifts? Or are you benefiting from your gifts? Are you saved? Has it changed you? Do you have the Holy Spirit of God dwelling within you? Is He leading you? Have you yielded yourself? Boy, I sure don't like that. I sure don't like those verses in the Word of God. I don't think I'm going to follow them. It's putting a resistance against the Holy Spirit. Then might I add, our third gift was the Scriptures. The Scriptures guide me. They instruct me. They challenge me. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. I like that word, profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. You see, I believe several times or much of the time when Christians go to church, they take this old black book as a badge when they go to church. I'm a Bible believer today. I'm going to church. It is Sunday. But the Bible is not a badge. It's a living, breathing book. It is there to guide your steps. Why would we treat the Bible as a little badge that we pick up on Sunday? We slip underneath the bed on Monday and we don't pick it up until next Sunday. It doesn't benefit us. Are the blessings and the good gifts of God only recognized and not beneficial to you? When was the last time you read something in the Word of God and you said, well, this is what the Bible says. I got to get rid of it. I got to do it. I got to stop it. I got to start it. Huh? When was the last time the Word of God challenged your heart? Let me ask you, when was the last time you were reading the Word of God and tears began to trickle down your cheek? I'm not saying every day. It doesn't happen every day. But it should happen at least once in a while. Because this is a breathing book. This is a living book. It should have an impact on our life. It should change us. The Word of God is powerful. I was reading over in Romans and in chapter 9, 10, 11, talking about where God took the Jews and He engrafted the Gentiles into salvation. Man, I began to think about that. I began to ponder the thought, you know what? Us old Gentiles, we think that we are first. We think that we deserve everything. You know, we don't deserve nothing. And boy, the tears started coming down my cheeks. You know why? Because I realized I don't deserve salvation. I don't deserve a church like Faith Baptist Church. I don't deserve a fellowship with good people like you. I don't deserve nothing. I was engrafted. I was not the part of the natural plan of salvation. But God was good to me. Oh, man, God's so good. When was the last time you took this old black book and you began to prop that thing open? You began to read it and tears began to pour down your cheeks. Say, oh God, thank you for the Word of God. Or is it still just a badge for you? Well, this is what I carry to church. I carry my billfold to the store, so I carry my Bible to church. It's just part of the tradition, you see. What is it? Are you recognizing it, or are you benefiting from the gifts? Every good gift and every perfect gift cometh from above. But God says, it doesn't please me just for you to have the gifts. It pleases me when you benefit from the gifts. If I were to take a GPS system, plug it in my car, put it up through the window, type in a different address, and I start heading down the road, and it tells me turn left. I turn a right. As we go down the road, it says, recalculating, take a right. I say, well, I'm going to take a left. And then I do everything opposite. And I was in a car the other day. It had an Australian man accent on that thing. I think that's Brother Jason's anyways. My goodness. I thought, what in the world is an Aussie telling us left, right? I couldn't hardly understand him anyhow. But if I were to go left or right and do the opposite of what that GPS told us to do, you think I would get to the destination that God, or that we wanted to get to? No. Neither does a Christian take the Word of God and look at the GPS system of the Christian's life and say, well, it says do this, but I'm going to do this. We aren't going to reach our destination, folks. We aren't going to reach it. The only way we're going to reach it is if we follow what the Bible tells us. We've been given the salvation. We've been given the Holy Spirit. We've been given the Scriptures. But is it benefiting your life? If it's not, go ahead and open up that gift. Go ahead and receive some benefits of the gift. There's a lot to obtain. I was up in Minnesota. My mom, she wanted to buy me a pair of shoes. She desired to help me with the walking that we do when we start churches. She said, "You got to have another pair of shoes." I said, "I have plenty of shoes. I'm gonna have as many shoes as my wife has if I don't stop getting shoes." She said, "No, one more pair is going to be a blessing for you." So we went into the shoe store, and this guy, he took my foot and he measured it. And he said, "Okay, I think this is going to be the right size for you." So I went home, and you know that feeling once you wear a new shoe, it's too long. You almost trip on that first step, you know, and trying to lift your leg high enough to clear the tips of the toes. I said, "Man, these shoes are too long. I can't walk around with these shoes." I said, "I'm going to go back and I'm going to exchange the shoes." So I went back to the store, and I said, "I bought these shoes yesterday, but I would like to exchange them for one size smaller." So the guy came out and gave me the size below the shoes that I had. And I put them on, and he took my shoe and he smacked it together. And he said, "Now go wear them out. You only know how good a shoe is by wearing it out." And I thought, you know what? That's the same thing with God's gifts. You only know how good the gift is that God has given you if you wear it out. Wear it out. Wear it out. The Holy Spirit, you can't wear out God's gifts. You can't wear out. Salvation's never going to wear out. It's not going to wear out. The Holy Spirit's not going to wear out. He's not going to get tired of telling you where and what to do. He will be there at all times. You will not wear it out, and you cannot wear out the Word of God. Yes, you might wear out one Bible, but you get yourself another Bible to speak to you the same as it did that last one. You see, it cannot wear out. Peter told Timothy, "Neglect not the gifts that is in you. Neglect not the gift that is in you." He said, "Timothy, God has given you great and mighty gifts, but it will not affect you unless you put them to use in your life." So how about it? Do you have salvation? If you don't have salvation, there's no way that you are even going to be able to spend eternity one day in heaven without salvation from Jesus Christ's blood on the cross of Calvary. Do you have the Holy Spirit? Are you listening to the Holy Spirit? Is He guiding your steps? Is He helping you? Do you have the Word of God? Is it just a simple badge that you bring to church on Sunday? Or does it speak to you Monday through Saturday? How about it? Do you recognize? Are you recognizing this morning? Or are you benefiting? Recognizing or benefiting?